It's Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. I'm Cameron Weir, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. The New York Times reported that back in December, Matt Gaetz asked the former president for a blanket pardon. Although there has been no word on what the pardon was for, we're pretty sure the blanket was to tuck in Matt's Gaetz. Yesterday, Caitlyn Jenner discussed the possibility of running for governor of California. She should be thought of as a front-runner, considering that the last race she ran ended in an Olympic gold medal. Speaking of unqualified politicians, Rudy Giuliani's son Andrew said he is heavily considering running for governor of New York. Wow, those genes, if he won, he could do to New York State what current governor Andrew Cuomo has been trying to do to the women who work for it. The National Rifle Association claimed in bankruptcy court that the organization will be destroyed if the court appoints a trustee to oversee its finances. And to that we say, the only thing that stops a bad accountant with a calculator is a good accountant with a calculator. A university in Michigan is now offering college students a scholarship to study cannabis. Unfortunately, it will be paid in Doritos. It was reported that Netflix made record profits in 2020 and paid a tax rate of less than 1%. Now, I don't feel so bad about using my mother's password. Although, saying that out loud, though. Actor Zachary Horowitz was arrested for running a Ponzi scheme in which he scammed investors out of $227 million with fabricated emails from HBO and Netflix executives for non-existent film distribution agreements, or, as it's known in the entertainment industry, fundraising. Former staffers of legendary Hollywood producer Scott Rudin are accusing him of bullying, abuse, and having a casual disregard for human rights. And you know, if you say that with a smile, it almost sounds like this year's tribute at the Producers Guild Awards. On her podcast, The Talk host Cheryl Underwood claims that recently fired Sharon Osbourne has not once reached out to apologize to her for the controversy which cost Sharon her job. But to be fair, Cheryl, CBS paid Sharon Osbourne $10 million not to work with you anymore. It's not an apology she owes you, it's a thank you. 17-year-old YouTube megastar JoJo Siwa says that she has finally figured out her sexuality and considers herself to be pansexual, which is great news for all of those parents of her preteen audience who will now have to explain that this has nothing to do with having sex with Peter Pan. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Later on in the show, we're going to be joined by the host of the podcast, Sipping Tea with Joey and Marie. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
See, I know in a second Joe's going to tell you that it's happy National Beer Day. But I was thinking that why don't we have a national Happy Amanda Beers Day for former Married with Children star and Fright Night actress Amanda Beers.
Oh, that would just be a thought. That'd be very nice.
You're so I know Adam O'Neill wouldn't like it because he hated her, but other than that, you know.
Elizabeth.
I freaking love Fright Night. Thanks for reminding me how much I love Fright Night. How's everybody doing? Go to flapperscomedy.com. For tickets for my show via Zoom this Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Are you saying 6 p.m. on Saturday?
On Saturday.
Wow. Nobody has any plans on Saturday at 6 p.m. They should all be going.
Right. We're still technically shut down, so you should be at home and you can watch this Zoom show.
Yeah. Well, you still have a chance to spend time at home with your family.
Yeah.
Watch people do comedy on Zoom.
It's not weird at all.
No. No.
We love it. We've done it twice.
Twice.
Is that in the Zeppo room?
It is in the Zeppo room. Thanks
I love
asking,
a comedy
Joe.
Room that's named after the least famous Marx brother.
I don't know why. That's the joke. Don't you get it?
It stressed me out. I was like,
who would care?
And Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts, and a very happy National Beer Day, which is actress Amanda Beer's favorite beverage. Listen, I'd like to point out, because beer is one of America's favorite drinks, and it is National Beer Day, to also, because of the pandemic and everything, to support your local craft beer maker, because those guys really could use the help, and they make some fantastic beers. I'd like to do a shout out to Bottle Logic in Anaheim, Brew Yard in Glendale, California, and Lincoln Brewery in Burbank, California. They're all really great craft brewers. Go and find one in your local area and go and have a beer and really enjoy it. They make some fabulous stuff.
I have to shout out my friends at Lawless Brewery in North Hollywood. They were just starting their space when they had to put a lot of it on hold for the pandemic, but I think they're starting to get back in shape. So,
oh, where are they in North Hollywood?
Just off of Lancashire. I can't remember their exact address right now.
I have to go check them out. I always love a new brewery.
Yeah. So, Joe,
what is the brewery that you get the dog bones from? The little dog treats that you bring our dogs?
Oh, that's from Stone.
Okay.
Stone Brewery. They take the leftover grains from the beer and convert them into dog treats so that they don't go to waste. And the dogs actually really like them.
Dogs love them. Yeah. They love their treats from Uncle Joe. Pete.
So I was just going to ask Joe. I mean, you usually know all the different national days today. And often we've found that a lot of the national days don't seem to work well together. So it wouldn't happen to be either National Mothers Against Drunk Drivers Day today, too, or National Spousal Abuse Day, would it?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good. So they did it right this time.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
because have we noticed like they'll usually have like National Nacho Day and National High Cholesterol Day on the same day? It just doesn't always work out right.
I mean, it is National Coffee Cake Day, which doesn't go well with beer.
No.
And it is National Bookmobile Day. And it is also, by the way, for everybody, it's also National Girl Me Too Day. So,
Joe, can I put you on spotlight camera and have you do that again?
Sure.
Go ahead,
what day is
it? It's also National Girl Me Too Day.
I feel like that was created by white women.
Okay, let's start tonight's show. Yesterday in our new segment, This Week in Gossip, the Kardashian family were the focus of two of the eight stories we covered. And honestly, we could have had them be part of all eight stories, because when it comes to the world of celebrity, it really is the Kardashians, and we're paying cable just to live in it. We thought that tonight we would focus on the three biggest stories currently surrounding this family and get our panel's opinion. Now, before we start, I just want to say that everyone knows that Peter and I are not fans of this family, and the questions may come off as negative, but it seems like no one ever asks these types of questions when it comes to this particular family, so we thought it might make for a good conversation. So let's start with the first one. As we mentioned yesterday, Khloe Kardashian has a team searching the internet for any site hosting an unretouched bikini photo of her from a couple of years ago.
Allegedly removed.
For all the young women who follow the Kardashian clan and consider them to be role models for women, what does this actually say about being body positive? I mean, I would need like 48 hours just to talk about this particular topic. So, Elizabeth, let's start with you and then I'll go to Joe.
Well, it's definitely frustrating because Khloe has often been at first picked on for not being sort of as slim as her sister. She's taller. She's taller. She's big. I'm saying bigger, but I don't mean that in the sense that she's overweight. She's athletic. And then she has she had a revenge body show, and she's done all this fitness stuff and weight loss stuff, and she's been in great shape and amazing shape, and been very focused on that. And so it's frustrating and hypocritical for it to be, you know, she's putting out this, you know, I'm healthy, I'm going for a healthy body, I'm happy in my body, and then chasing allegedly through the internet to find these unretouched photos. But as I said yesterday, Kendall had an retouched photo in a Skims ad she was doing with Kim, and Kendall's already, you know, model thin and tall and lanky. So it's like, what's widened the thigh gap or whatever. So, I mean, they've been on camera for however many years now, closing in on 15?
Too many.
For a lot. So I got to imagine that's going to just permanently distort your brain. I actually saw someone point out, oh, I wish I could remember where. Oh, it was actually, it was on a YouTube interview with somebody who talks about pop culture stuff. They were pointing out, yeah, we've never seen Kylie's actual, like, face post-puberty. She's had the lips done and everything. So we never actually saw what Kylie would ever truly look like. Yeah, that's how much they manipulate.
We have a face on screen right now.
Mm-hmm. Kylie or Kylie. Chloe?
Well,
Kylie.
We'll go back to Chloe's, but I took both just in case.
It's frustrating because they put out the, you know, body positivity, but they also clearly aren't happy. And so they keep manipulating everything. But also, that happens with lots of stars. I don't think they're unique for that fact.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, like you could mention almost any celebrity, and they've had like airbrushing done on their photographs. I mean, so that's nothing new, and they've had people retouch the photographs. What bothers me, and I noticed this today when I was kind of looking into the story. Every time you see a post by one of the Kardashian women, there is something written by a fan below it talking about how brave they are, how proud of them they are. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you would think at some point that there might be like some part of them that says, we realize that we are kind of role models to these women. And then they do these things that are so horrifically not what a role model would do for young women.
Would be if you assume that these people actually care. They don't care.
This is the thing is, and maybe I'm going to give them more
money.
Credit.
That's it.
Maybe I'm going to give them more credit, but I would think that after all these years that they would actually care about their actual fans. Maybe not the haters, but their actual fans. Like, because they've been doing this for so long. You know, that I would think that they
think they care to a degree, but I think they care about themselves more, you know, like, and so they don't, that like cognitive dissonance of, you know, doing one thing and saying another doesn't compute. Yeah.
See, and I feel that once you reach a level of narcissism, like where they're at, that you get to a point where you don't care about what your fans think of you. You just care that money keeps coming in.
I think there's that too.
I mean, not to kind of get off track, and I know, Joe, you wanted to say something, but just really quick, I just found out like a couple days ago that the mom, what's her name? Kris Jenner.
Chris, yeah.
She started this cleaning company with Chrissy Teigen, like a cleaning, not excuse me.
Oh, a cleaning product.
Product. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. But like, if you look at some of those posts that both of them are doing with, oh, you know, this is going to be the best cleaning supply ever. These people don't care. They will sell anything. I mean, absolutely anything that even things that they don't know anything.
I mean,
about.
These are the finest cleaning products that our maids use.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you think they're using the product.
It's so obnoxious. I saw the picture of Chrissy Teigen, and I know people love Chrissy Teigen. I'm not a fan of hers personally, whatever.
I get a little tired of her.
Yeah, she's exhausting, you know, and I think she's also very narcissistic. But there's a picture that I saw today of her promoting the cleaning product where she's in this big old like gown in the kitchen and she's pretending to be cleaning. I'm like, girl, this is not. First of all, you have no idea what you look like when you're cleaning. You should have seen 30 minutes ago. And I'll stick to my fabuloso, okay?
I'm going to say something that I feel like would come out of Pete normally, which is if you're buying the product because you think Chrissy Teigen or Kris Jenner use it, you deserve to lose your money.
Yeah, you definitely
do. Yes, I agree. But again, like they won't stop at anything, you know? And like I said, I think there's different levels of narcissism. Yes, celebrities are narcissistic. I agree. It is part of who they are. But this particular family, though, takes it up to like a whole different level. And the fact that, you know, again, that everything has to be airbrushed, not even airbrushed, forget the airbrushing. Everybody does it. I mean, we personally know some celebrities. When you meet them in person, they look nothing like what they look like. You know,
I can vouch for
that. I would never name a couple people that I know, but I can say, you know, sure enough that there's a couple people. But it with them, it's the plastic surgery, and they're all plastic. They are all, I mean, they're disgusting. Yeah. It's gross. Joe, what did you want to say earlier? Sorry about that.
Girl, me too. no, my whole thing, listen, One thing that really just burns my toast is the way that everybody manipulates their photos nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about celebrities. Celebrities do it all the time, too. But there are a lot of influencers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Where every single thing has to be this manipulation. And what they actually look like is nothing like what it is. And the problem with this is that there are people that follow them and all that want to emulate them that are going for a goal that is unobtainable because it's all being done digitally and is not in reality. Yeah. And the other thing that, I mean, first of all, I saw this supposed picture going around, and I'm like, well, her body looks fine in this. I don't see why there's a problem. But I guess when you do this as long as you do, there's a problem where you see every single little flaw and every single little mistake. And that's something where I got to say, you got to go get some therapy at that point. And the thing that I'm saying more than anything else, and I'm an old fart now, so I'll know, there's a lot more attractiveness and sexiness in somebody if you see the way that they actually treat people, and the celebrities treat their fans, and the way they treat people in general, and the kind of personality they exude. I mean, I always thought Selma Hayek was a beautiful woman, but when you meet her in person and you see what a wonderful, nice person she is, and she's so excited to meet a fan or to meet people, stuff like that, and you know what? She's an actor, and maybe a bit, but for that moment, she is so much more attractive than somebody else in the room because she has this she has this momentary bond with you. She is very, very happy you're there. She's very grateful, gracious, and things like that. But my whole thing is like, you know, that has a lot to do, because I've met a lot of celebrities that I thought were really good looking. But when you meet them in person, it's like you lose a lot. I mean, I know Veronica knows about this because she's met a lot of famous people, too. You meet some of these famous people in person and you see what their actual personality is like. And it's like they're not as attractive as you thought they were. Oh, am I right?
No, absolutely.
Well, I mean, right now as we speak, I have the picture of Khloe Kardashian from about 6 or 7 years ago next to a picture of her from 2 years ago. They clearly eliminated the original Khloe and changed it for another person.
She has a completely different face.
Yeah,
plastic surgeon in the world.
The worst part is they insist they did nothing. Kylie for ages insisted she did nothing to her lips, and then finally said, all right, fine, it's not just the lip kit. Because I'm not, like, I like makeup kind of, but not enough to really be into it. And so I kept hearing about these damn lip kits, and it gives you fuller lips. I was like, well, what does it do? And all it is a flipping lip liner and some lip gloss.
Yeah.
Which, yes, if you like overline your lips and use a little lip gloss, it will give the illusion of being larger. And so I was like, that's it? That's what they're selling? Yeah. And everyone's acting as like the manna from heaven, holy grail, like ultimate item. Also, fun fact, a lot of celebrities, a lot shorter in person than you would think. I can vouch from red carpets.
Yeah, all you LA ladies that have to have a guy that's 6 foot or taller. Yeah.
Look, no, I've said this before.
Oh, well, I guess you know.
No. I'm 5'10". I get the dude who's taller. You can put up with somebody who's 5'9 or under, you 5 foot bitch. Okay?
I'm 5'3, but I like to wear heels, so you gotta be 6 foot or taller. Well, yeah. Whose heels are you wearing, Gene Simmons? Right, my God! I gotta be taller than your lie?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. No, but also to your point, Joe, about the digital face manipulation, and the face tuning they do on like Instagram and things like that. There have been tons of studies, or not tons, but a lot of studies that focus on how psychologically damaging it is, because you do it to your face in the phone and you're staring at it and you're like, oh, I look great. But then you go look in the mirror and you don't look anything like the phone. And that's, again, a cognitive dissonance thing that your brain isn't processing, mm-hmm. and it doesn't accept it. And so then you want to alter either want to alter how you look through surgery or makeup or something like that, or you just feel terrible about yourself. And that, and it's a huge, huge problem. That's why social media often affects like teenage and middle school age girls a lot, because in an awkward phase. And
I mean,
it's just hell.
I mean,
yeah, I want to move on to the next story.
Just real quick, I'll admit that I use a ring light for the show, but that's because I just want to enhance this already naturally beautiful face.
It is.
Oh, no. And again, like I said, I want to move on. But just one of the things that Elizabeth was just saying that I just want to, just reiterate is that, especially now with social media and young girls. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she has a 15-year-old daughter. And she was telling me, she goes, my daughter just cannot post a picture of herself, a regular, normal picture of herself on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. She has to look like an influencer. And then she needs all these people to comment how gorgeous she is, how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
And this all stemmed from the Kardashians. And I blame mm-hmm. them for that. And I think it's awful. I mean, I sound like an old lady, but I mean, that's just how I feel. But okay.
I don't think they're solely responsible, but they're not responsible.
But
they're contributing factor.
They did kind of start the trend, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to Caitlyn Jenner. Yesterday, it came out that she's considering running for governor of California against Gavin Newsom. So my first question is, I want you guys for right now, just forget that she's transgender and also forget that she's a Kardashian. Is there any reason whatsoever anyone should think that this person would be qualified to run the sixth largest economy in the world? Joe.
She did a pretty good job as vice president on South Park. I'm just saying.
I didn't see any of those episodes. Was she vice president?
She was the vice president, yeah, when Mr. Garrison was president.
Well, no, I mean, clearly, not because it's Caitlyn Jenner, but nobody who's had, the life that she's had has, is in any position to run California. California is bigger than five other countries. And so it's like the only person kind of people that would think that they should run for governor because they're them are people that have been basically bred on narcissism to a level that you just cannot even imagine. Like doctors would probably have a hard time trying to imagine, because there's no reason why. I mean, and again, this has nothing to do with who she is. It's nothing to do with whatever she's done in her life. It takes somebody. I mean, even the people that do become governor are usually not that qualified to be governor. So it's like, imagine somebody who's not even a politician. Well, who's not a politician, and really for the last 30 years, their only relevance has been something they did in 1976 and then what they were doing on a reality show.
Yeah, and then married one into the Kardashian family, or whatever you want to. Well, so now, since we live in the country's most progressive state, will her being transgender be the reason enough for people to consider her for governor, Elizabeth?
First I have to get my dumb joke from earlier, which is, she was a decathlete, so juggling 10 sports, I mean, that's kind of like juggling an economy, so, Mm-hmm. All right, it sucked. It was better in my head, and it would have worked better earlier.
You didn't anyway. Tell me how that rim shot out.
Anywho, I mean, no, I don't, because I believe she is also more conservative, though, or has said she...
And then she flip-flopped, because didn't she support Trump at first?
She was supporting Trump at one point.
And she was like, oh, no, I don't... Yeah. See, to me, that alone would disqualify her, transgender or not.
And I don't think she's going to actually run. I think this is just a puffed
another
up...
ploy
mm-hmm. for some attention. She got a book or something, or show probably coming around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
I mean, if you can't drive the PCH, there's no way you can drive our economy here in California.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much better.
Seriously, her biggest problem, and I don't want to say this because trans, but her biggest problem is being trans, and that she would run as a Republican. You think about the Republican strongholds in this state, and most of those places I don't think would be really friendly towards it. I mean, Orange County, parts of San Diego, way up north in there, I don't think would be friendly towards a trans candidate. I mean, I'll be honest, Arnold would have a better shot if he decided to run again.
You know who would be considering it? Every super ultra liberal that, like, oh my God, this could be a turning point for the state. We could be the first state with a transgender governor. And, that's where I go, no, we wouldn't have a transgender governor. We'd have fucking Caitlyn Jenner.
Guys, I don't want to scare anyone, but Steve Bannon lives in California. So,
but yeah, on for the last one. Yeah. Right now, when you said Steve Bannon, I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
I don't know. But I mean, that's what yeah. I'm talking about. There are yeah. sections of the state that are like that. You mm-hmm. don't think that Huntington Beach and Newport Beach would totally be behind someone like that? Of course,
right. Okay, so yesterday Forbes magazine said that Kim Kardashian is a new billionaire. Now,
finally.
Nobody doubts that she's a hard worker who has also single-handedly created a multi-billion dollar industry out of social media influencing. Now, with all that being said, she created most of it by using sex, scandal, and her family's personal lives as her biggest marketing tools. And don't forget, she also came from money. So should people be praising Kim for becoming a billionaire because of how she got there? Or does it not matter anymore? What are your thoughts on that, Elizabeth?
I think it kind of doesn't matter, at least coming from Forbes when they declared Kylie Jenner like the youngest self-made billionaire a couple years ago, when she is 1,000% not self-made. She comes from family money and, you know, had her start on a reality show. She did not, like, leg up, you know, to hustle and butt. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't work hard, but it's not the same as like literally coming from nothing to become a billionaire.
Yeah, I agree.
And in fact, that's what damn near in this, you know, day and age, damn near impossible to do because of the structures in our economy and society that prevent, you know, class mobility in the first place. So they were already upper, you know, not even upper middle class. You know, they were wealthy. Their dads were famous, you know, the Jenner Kardashian dads were famous and had money. You know, mm-hmm. I think Chris came from money. It's kind of irrelevant. It's like they also announced the Winklevoss twins, you know, from Facebook and everything and that whole mess are billionaires now. And it's like, oh, okay, great. Good for that. Like, it would be different if, I don't know, if somebody who was like came from nothing, invented something or built a business became a billionaire. Like, and that does happen, but it's so rare now that, you know.
Yeah. So if, oh, Pete, go ahead. Did you want to ask?
It's just, you know, again, I would never like try to disparage how much money she's made because I mean, the reality of it is there's a whole industry that exists now because of her. I mean, like mm-hmm. the social media influencer industry did not exist and it's a multi-billion dollar industry now. So I appreciate how monumental that is. But the question is like, can you, you know, like, are we getting to a point now where we could say, okay, you know, they've succeeded to this extent, so it doesn't matter what they did to get here? Because the reality of it is, you know, like, and again, I went back and looked at this. Every time it seemed like she was in any kind of like bad position, whether her stock was kind of low because maybe there wasn't enough going on with her or she was going through another breakup or another divorce, that she turned to nudity. Like she'd immediately go and put something up someplace that, you know, to kind of mitigate that. The famous story is that the way that she technically got famous was because Paris Hilton, who was years ago her best friend, got so much notoriety because of the sex tape that she had no knowledge was going to get leaked out the way it was by
Rick Solomon.
By him. But, you know, when she saw that, she realized that if I have a sex tape out there, I could be just as famous as Paris Hilton, which turns out was actually true. So it wasn't a thing like, oh my God, Ray J put out this tape I had nothing to do with. She did this because she wanted to do it. And anytime she's needed to, she's used sex again. So are we now telling women that, you know what, you know, you can be a billionaire if you sell yourself off to, you know, to the highest bidder? Because that's what it comes down to. And that's the part I cannot, you know, for everything else you could say positively towards them, that's the part where I cannot wrap my mind around seeing her as a positive role model for anyone.
Yeah, I'm right with you.
I'll let Joe go first.
Joe, go ahead. Thank you. Mm-hmm. While I agree with a lot of things that Pete said, I also want to point out in general, because maybe we all here know how we feel about the Kardashians. But in general, I don't want to disparage the fact that it's a woman, another woman on the billionaires list, which is still, I hate to say, rare in this country. And so women go out and get yours and make some. And, you know, I don't want anything we're talking about to discourage a woman from going out and getting what she deserves to get.
Mm-hmm. And I don't particularly have qualms with it because, again, societally, there's only so many options given to you as a woman. And if that's how she built the empire, that's how she built the empire. And that's probably one of the least nefarious ways she could have done it compared to other billionaires who have done far worse things than flashed a little ass or tit on Instagram and gotten more attention. The people who have violated laws, don't allow workers to unionize, you know. Yeah. There are far, far worse things you could do as a billionaire than get a little naked from time to time.
Mm-hmm, okay. So I was going to ask a final question, but you guys kind of already like answered it, you know, like, you know, some, you know, women, if they want to just, you know, make their money any way that they want, that they should be able to.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess that's where I kind of don't consider myself to be such a feminist because I have my own opinions about that. But again, we can all agree to disagree. So let's bring on our guest. They're ready to come on.
Right.
Okay, so tonight's guest, Joey Bravo, and his daughter, Aaliyah Marie, host a funny pop culture podcast called Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Joey is also the morning show host of 92.7's The Music Monster in Twin Falls, Idaho. Please welcome Joey and Aaliyah. Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. How you doing?
Good, how are you? Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
No, thank you. So before we get into your podcast, we went through your bio and there's some things that jumped out that we thought would be interesting to open up the show with you. So Joey, you were born and raised out here in Ventura, California, right?
That's right. That's okay. God's country right there.
And you're a military veteran. Thank you so much for your service. How did you go from being a popular radio DJ to be in Idaho, I should say?
You know, it's crazy. That's what kind of kept me here in Idaho. I grew up in California and I actually did a lot of my service there in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And although I wasn't there much because I was in the Navy, I was out a lot. I promised my mom when I got out of the service, I'd come visit her. So when I came to visit her, it just so happens I met my lady and she kept me here. I was going to go back to Ventura because that was the plan. Mm-hmm. But then there was this contest here that it was called Make Me a DJ Contest. And so what happened was they got a bunch of people out here to, you know, to try out for this thing. The only thing is you couldn't have any radio experience, but I'm a hip hop MC and I've been doing that since I was, you know, Ventura and everything. So like I wasn't a stranger to the mic. So to me, it was really easy and I'm easy at improvising. That's kind of my thing. So I ended up winning the contest. And I was supposed to only be for a late night show host for 3 months and $1,000 and a year of Mountain Dew. But they really the Mountain Dew was the best part. So
still have all your teeth?
Yeah, I know. I gave it all away. I was like, nah, I'm good on Mountain Dew. So anyways, they ended up keeping me longer. So I was like, all right, well, I'll stick around here in Idaho a little bit longer. And, you know, all these years later, I became the operations manager just recently of this whole, yeah, thank you, of the whole group of stations. So it's been really a blast. So that's kind of what's kept me in Idaho, although we go to California quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah. So as someone who's lived in both places, is there something that you can tell us about Idaho that we probably don't know? Because I mean, whenever I think of Idaho, I'm just going to say it. I think of potatoes. But is there anything else that you could tell us about Idaho that we probably don't know?
Well, think about it like this. Let's say you're running like super fast, you're sprinting, and all of a sudden you get held back and you got one of those little parachutes on your back and you slow down and everything starts going like this. So the thing is the world here is a lot much slower and it's a lot more relaxed, although this town's getting a little bigger, but mm-hmm. everything's more laid back. So you have more time to think. You know, as far as California, we're in Cali, you know how it is. Everything's like boom, 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 you know? And so that's why my personality is the way it is, because I still got that California feel, you know? But Idaho's got, it's kind of like set back a little bit in time, you know? And so I kind of appreciate that, you know, because you still get that small town mentality still in a way, and there's still like people are laid back. And, you know, when we want to get back to the fast life, we go to California, you know, and then we go have some fun over there. Then we come back and slow down a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So now I want to talk about your podcast, Sipping Tea with Joey and Marie. Now, we've had married couples and siblings who have done podcasts together, but you're our very first dad and daughter. And I love that, by the way. Whose idea was it for the two of you to do this podcast? How did that come about?
Well, I started a morning show, in last June. And when I started the morning show, I knew I needed a female counterpart. But because of, you know, the whole COVID thing and everything, our money was kind of low. And my daughter and I, she's been mentored by some of the radio guys here through school. And I've also shown her a lot. And she's kind of the same like I am. We talk a lot, you know, and we always smack talk. And that's just kind of how we do. We like our family thing is roasting, you know, we like to roast each other. So we're like, hey, let's do a show talking smack and roasting celebrities. So I told her, hey, let's put together this mock thing called Sipping Tea with Aaliyah Marie. And so, you know, obviously Sipping Tea, talking smack. So then we just started talking smack about celebrities. Right. And so we sent it to the big boss, and the boss like, who's that? I said, that's my daughter. And he's like, wow, she sounds really good. I said, I know, man, let me do a bit with her. So he's like, all right. So that's how it started. And from there on, you can tell the rest.
Well, and luckily, like at the time too, when we started the morning show, not a lot of people knew that he was my dad, just because, mm-hmm. you know, he's been here for so long in the radio business, but we've always been very private as far as our lives go. Just because, you know, how his one CD really popular, there's, you know, people around, but even when we did the morning show, it was still pretty private enough that I was not his daughter, but we were just kind of like friends hanging out. But it's funny because a lot of our friends I know as well know I'm his daughter, but people who didn't, they're like, you guys sound like you know each other for years. And I'm like, well, that's true. He's known me since the womb. And so like, it was definitely something that I was really nervous to do because I've been mentored here by a lot of people who work in the radio industry. And I practically grew up here majority of my life. But to be on air, it was such an uncomfortable feeling because I love being social and talking to other people. But to do something like that, where people can actually notice me, like, it freaked me out a bit. But for us doing it within like half a year, like, I developed so much. And I kind of, my self-esteem went a lot up more because I felt more comfortable doing what I was doing. And it definitely benefited the job that I even work full time now. And so even after the morning show, we kind of pulled it because once he got promoted, that was something we kind of had to kind of let go. But that gave us the idea of doing the podcast just because we were doing so well and we were getting such an audience
base right response. There,
like that we're like, well, why don't we do podcasts? Like it's all about podcasts now. Like all people listen to. And I love podcasts. I listen to it every time I go to work. So we're like, you know, it's pretty much like less listening radio, but it's more laid back and we kind of have more advantage to kind of do what we want to do.
Yeah.
And even being on our eighth episode, like we've gotten so much feedback from so many people, especially across the country. Like we have listeners from like France and Sweden and like crazy enough, Ohio. Like we have so many people from Ohio. We don't even know anyone.
Yeah, Ohio's giving us a lot of love. I don't know why.
But it's definitely like for like the time I started doing radio and even transitioning to podcasting, like it's helped me a lot in my own personal life, but to just be able to do it alongside my dad, like if that's what made it easier and more willing to be able to do more because I had someone I knew my whole life, but he also mentored me to kind of give me more what I do now. So it was definitely something I was really excited to do.
No, that's really amazing. And you guys kind of already answered like my next question. I was going to say, you know, so what can people like expect to hear on your podcast? So you said you talk about celebrities, you roast each other. Are there any other, like, are you kind of, because you do come from a conservative area, you know, in our country, are you more mindful about that? Like the topics that you explore or?
We are to a certain moment because obviously like we the purpose of what we feel like what we do is we want to get whoever's listening get away from the real world and just be able to kind of take a break from everything.
So we're not the thing is why we chose to do the celebrity thing is because we want to keep it comedic, you know, and I know people get a little testy about this side and that side and this and that, and it's like, look, man, I'm from California. I got certain things that I think that should be done. And I also been living in Idaho, so I know there's certain things that should be done too. But I'm not going to take anybody's side as far as that goes. You know, the conservative part does come out a little bit because we've been here so long, but also because we're also bringing the audience that was giving us all this love here in the morning show. So I just keep that in mind. Like, I think, I know there's a lot of kids that are still tuning in. I know there's a lot of people, so I'm trying to give them, I guess, the best of both worlds, but not go a little bit too much where I'm like, because I don't curse very much, you know? And so I'm just trying to keep it light. But one thing we do is we do just like to make fun of stuff, you know?
Like, I think that's why a lot of people like us so much, because, like, we definitely keep it neutral enough that we any audience, whether it's young or old, they can listen to it and not feel so tense with what we're talking about.
It's all about entertaining, you know, and that's why we make our episodes very short. They're short and sweet, so you drive from one place to another and you heard the episode and you're good to go. And obviously, we also talk about random crazy stories that happen around the world. We call this little thing called locomotive. And we, like, tell people, like, okay, this is why this fool did this. And obviously, we roast whoever this fool is and we make some jokes and then, you know, we're in and out. Yeah.
So I have one final question before I open it up to the panel. So are there certain topics that you guys talk about where you both have the same opinion, or do you have different opinions about certain things? And can you give us an example?
I think movies, like, because when growing up, that's what, like, my dad before, because I have four other siblings and we have a couple boys, but before that it was just me and my sister. And so my dad, I think, to relate with us, the closest thing was watching movies together.
Oh, they try to make me watch High School Musical. Oh,
we would watch movies together, and, like, the older we got, like, that's just something, like, that's always become our thing. But I think that's one thing that we can agree on, like, whether it's, like, what's the best 80s movie or what's, like, the worst remake ever. Like, but we definitely, there's sometimes when, you know, we talk about a lot in our podcast that we do have two different opinions. But, like I said, it goes back to roasting. Like, I roast him about what he says, he roasts about what I say, but we don't take it any personal than it already is.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that so much. Okay, so let me open it up to the panel now. Does anybody have any questions? Pete, let's start with you.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us. When Veronica first came to me and said that we were going to have you guys on, I was looking at everything about you. And the thing that kind of, like, struck me the most strange, because I'd never kind of imagined this, is that there would be any calling for hip hop in Idaho. Because, I mean, to me, and this might sound crazy, but I just have this vision that it's like Footloose and that the pastor doesn't want anybody dancing. And so I'm just like, who is the hip hop audience in Idaho? I'm not saying that to be mocking. I just don't know. I couldn't even imagine it when I first.
You genuinely want to know.
Yeah, like, I guess, like, people think, like, think of Idaho. Like, that's if I didn't live in Idaho and I lived somewhere else, I would think the same thing, because obviously people think of potatoes. So Footloose kind of goes along with that. But it's surprising that we have so much people in Idaho that love hip hop. So
yeah, there's a lot. And then the thing is too is that, you know, I continue creating hip hop music and whatnot, and so I'm also a concert promoter, and I also, you know, I still perform. I'm a DJ, turntablist, all that. So while doing that, and, you know, with the movement of my radio personality, I've used that to catapult the scene further. So, I mean, I perform with a lot of my heroes here in this area, like in a little town called Jerome next door. Yeah. I've performed with some big names. I've even performed with Pitbull in Jerome, like, next door, you know? And it's like, I've interviewed him, and it's like, the thing is that I kept that vibe alive, because that's like, I said it, I think, on one of our podcasts, like, radio is my first love, but hip hop's my mistress, you know? I'm always trying to keep it alive. And so, I still make records. I still drop albums, you know? Still doing it because it's all for the passion. But I'm with you, though, because when I first came here, there was nobody feeling that. And I was like, oh, let me show you something.
Elizabeth.
What's been one of your bigger, like, pop culture disagreements, maybe? Like, a movie or a show where it's just not even, like, generational because you're father, daughter, but you just, like...
Oh, WandaVision.
Oh.
WandaVision. Look, let me tell you. I know y'all are probably going to get upset at me because I know there's a lot of people who love WandaVision.
I did.
I don't care. I'm going to say it. So WandaVision, I loved it. I was like, ooh, this is so dope. I love how they're going, you know, they're paying homage to all these shows and they're doing this and that. And I'm like, ooh, this is dope. And then I'm like, wait, don't tell me this is going to be the villain. And then when they exposed the villain, I was like, dude, this is cheeseball. And she was over here, oh, it's so good, Dad. You're going to love it. You're going to love everything. I was
like,
that was so whack. I was like, oh, no, man, this chick was whack. So I wasn't happy with that. And then she was like, you're crazy. She was really good. I was like, no. And then even my buddy, I called my buddy like at 11 o'clock at night. And he was supposed to work like at 6 in the morning. I was like, I watched WandaVision. Whack. And then he saw, is that why you called me and woke me in the middle of the morning just to freaking talk smack? I was like, yeah.
I think another thing, we had conflicts with, like, even with their show, it's like anything we talk about the Kardashians, just because, like, what their lives are just so insane. And I purposely like to, like, press against him because I know he gets insane with them, but I'll say things. But I think, like, I really love that, you know, like, we share a lot of the same opinions, but there are times, like, and it's kind of hard to tell when those times are going to happen because when we do our podcast or do our morning show, we don't know what to expect from each other.
Yeah, we just know this is the structure. We got these things we want to talk about. Let's roll. It. And so we just start.
I think that's what's so great. And, like, for us being a father and daughter, like, at times that might seem like we're going to be exactly alike and think of, you know, agree of every little thing, but there's disputes that we have on the show and everything. But obviously it's a humorous way, but I think that's what makes it so great. And that's why people like it so much is we're not talking about the same thing all the time. Like, I'll say one thing and then he'll say completely different what I said. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I see what you're saying.
Any more questions?
All right. I'm going to stir the pot right here.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Oh,
it was Agatha all along, bitches.
That was such a freaking bop. Oh my god, that song was so good.
So did you guys have any final questions?
It was so funny because, again, and I apologize in advance for having all these preconceived notions, but Joey, the minute you said that I called my friend at 11 o'clock, my first thought was, the phones still work at 11 o'clock? like, don't they shut them off around 8:30 because everybody has to get up at like 4 to do the farm?
Yeah.
And so, and I apologize, but that's like the first... Like, why is that the only conception most people have? I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't think it's most people. I think it's you, Pete, because
you know how many people from California live in Idaho now because you can actually buy a house in Idaho?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure.
But what's it like to buy a house? Let me know, because that's like a fantasy of mine.
I'm sure you can buy a house right now here, because I'll tell you what.
Like you're paying California, and that's why so many people
are
here. Like, it's insane,
of,
like, the past 3 months of how much people we get from California.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I see so many
Californians. But hey, I'm welcoming, man. I love my people.
I'm
like, yeah, come on through, man. Let's
party. Let's have a good time. We even have, because it is National Beer Day today, we even have a brewery that's down in San Diego. They opened up a second one over in Boise because they're just like, it's easier for us to brew beer there. I'm like, when California makes it tough for you to brew beer, dude.
Boise is popping. I'm going to tell you this. I mean, Twin Falls is growing where we're at, and it's a really, like, fun town. It's still got, you know, feels, you know, like a small town, but it also feels kind of like a little city. But Boise's on point, man. They have so much fun things over there to do. Like, we go out there a lot, and I do a lot of business out there. Our other, cluster of stations is over there, too. So it's good.
And Sun Valley likes its hip-hop. I like to point that out right now. So
that's true.
I've done
I've done some good shows in Ketchum at Whiskey Jack's. Whiskey Jack's has some really good. I was there with Brother Ali. Brother Ali is one of the nicest guys ever. I love that dude, man. So, yeah. Hip-hop,
What is the travel time between California and Idaho?
Well, it depends on where you're coming from.
Oh, okay. I mean,
from here to Ventura, it's about 14 hours.
Okay.
When we're visiting her grandma, Northern California grandma, it's only like 10 hours. So it's not too much. It just depends on where you're coming from.
So it's not a commute, but...
It's a drive, you know? It's a drive.
When you drive with a family and like more than like 5 people, like those 14 hours seem like 48 days.
But it's worth it. Down the street, we have the canyon, the Snake River, where Evel Knievel jumped back in the 70s. Bruce Willis made a movie here down the street from us. It was a terrible movie called Breakfast of Champions. Do yourself a favor and watch it so you can laugh really hard.
But it's definitely, like, here in Idaho, it's super fun. Like, he actually just went skydiving.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, yeah, like, it's like, for it being Idaho, and, like, you know, it's crazy that people, like, automatically think of certain things. But it's, the nature here is so beautiful. Like, the mountains. And that's why I think a lot of people like to move here, because there's so much scenery. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a step away from, you know, like, those high populated areas. Right. So, I mean, and Idaho's pretty cool. So, it makes sense why people want to move here.
Yeah, for sure.
Any final questions for Joey and Aaliyah? So our final segment, it has to do with movies. Do you guys have time? Do you want to stick around for our final segment?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's fun to keep you guys on. Okay, so tonight for our final segment, we're going to talk about some movies. Well, kind of, sort of. Entertainment industry analysts are now saying that due to the success of Godzilla versus Kong, moviegoers should brace themselves for a potential wave of mashup films, including iconic characters. We thought we'd end tonight's show by asking each person on the panel what two characters they'd like to go see go head-to-head in a big-budget movie. So if you could think of two characters that you want to go head-to-head, I want to know who you're thinking about. Like, I'm not a big action person. I'm not into, like, superhero movies. So when I was thinking about this question, I thought in my mind I would love to see Bates versus Bates. And what I mean by that, I would love to see Kathy Bates' character, Annie Wilkes from Misery, go head to head with Norman Bates from Psycho.
That's a good one.
I would love to see that.
That's so. It. I'm out of here. That was the best.
I know, right?
Okay. Joe, what about you? What do you think?
Wow, that was good.
Joe?
Am I up? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so
I've actually had this idea for a while, but I'm dying for this, because I know we're getting a Sopranos prequel, but I want to do a Sopranos sequel, because that point in the moment when in the diner, when the music's playing and it goes black, they never actually said what happened. We just all assumed that they got whacked. But my idea is that the minute that goes black, what actually happened is the Punisher walked into the diner and took out the guy that was going to assassinate Tony Soprano. And the reason being is that the Punisher needs Tony Soprano to take down this mob, but this whole time the Punisher wants to kill Tony Soprano. So they're going to go after this mob thing, but in the end, they have to fight it out. That's my idea. So the Punisher versus Tony Soprano.
Okay. Any more thoughts, Pete?
Well, I mean, this is going to go back to the late 90s, and I apologize. But I had this thought about, wouldn't it be great to see Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls take on Demi Moore from Striptease? There would definitely be scratching and a lot of stuff with high heels. And I think it would make more money than either of those movies, man.
I think to be fair, you'd have to have a no staircase rule.
Yeah.
I think it should all take place on a staircase. All of it should just take place on the staircase. So no matter what happens, things are just going to go off the rails.
So would that be considered like a pull off?
Strip off.
Probably.
I think you should make it a threesome and add J-Lo to it,
man. I was thinking that. You know, that is a perfect idea, Joey. So it'll be, yeah, it'll be J-Lo from Hustlers and another two.
J-Lo has some spice.
Show tease and Hustlers.
Elizabeth, what about you?
I didn't get a chance to think of this as deeply as I wanted to, but what sprang to mind would be, I think, Killer Rabbit from Monty Python and the Holy Grail versus the Gopher from Caddyshack.
Oh, that's not even a fight.
The Gopher is elusive, man.
Oh, that rabbit would take him out.
It's got a mean streak a mile wide.
Got an entire like thing of knights with swords.
No, I was also like, what about the rabbit versus Baby Yoda? Because Baby Yoda is not actually a baby, and he's got all his little powers, and like eats frogs and stuff. What if he got in a little sex battle?
Well, if you've seen the new trailer, I think Baby Yoda versus
the sweet Stay Puft Marshmallow.
The tiny Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Our friend Todd online has given us a whole bunch of things.
Okay.
He said the crew from Fast and Furious versus Mr. Bean. I don't know.
Yes.
John Wick versus Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. And then his last one was the USA Miracle Team from versus the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Aaliyah, any thoughts?
I don't know. Well, now that he mentioned John Wick, like, I think John Wick and what's that guy that played Nobody?
I don't know, but it's the guy, the Better Call
Saul. Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah.
For Nobody, yeah.
Have y'all seen Nobody yet?
Oh, not yeah, yet. It's fabulous.
It is right? Amazing.
It's like if your dad is John Wick.
I know, right?
To see those two would be a great.
So, do you believe the same thing? Is this in the John Wick world? Because the barber is from John Wick, right?
Yeah, it is. It's the same writer and same producer. So, yes, I believe that it is from the same world.
I would love to see them too, because after watching Nobody, I was like, that's like John Wick, but older man. Like,
I'm hoping he kind of makes an appearance in John Wick 4 or something.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to happen.
Right?
I think so too. I think that's the reason why and I told my boyfriend too, because I was like conspiring with him. I'm like, I'm sure they introduced this because when John Wick 4 comes, they're going to show him. And especially the way it ends too. Like, that, I mean, obviously they'll make another one of Nobody, but like, it was pretty good. So I would like to see those two.
Yeah. Because also, if you notice, I mean, I know they have a lot of different like songs in there, but like, if you notice like the soundtrack, like it is the same soundtrack.
Great. Yeah.
It's the same background music.
Yeah, that was good.
That's why I would pick. I'd pick John Wick and Nobody. I think that'd be pretty intense right there.
What's the name of the lawyer on Seinfeld that always?
Is it Johnny Charles or Jackie Charles?
Jackie Charles, right?
Jackie Charles
against Saul Goodman.
But like in a fight or in a trial that they end up in a fight.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I've got a good one. The dads from Mamma Mia versus Three Men and a Baby.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So, any more?
That's it.
So, Sip and Tea with Joey and Marie can be heard on all major platforms, streaming platforms. How often do you drop the episodes?
Every Monday at 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. here in Idaho. So what is it, 11 o'clock with you guys? Mm-hmm. And but yeah, we do it every Monday. And every Monday is basically a recap of the week before of what we found interesting. And a lot of the topics that we talk about are really topics that we feel somewhat passionate about and that we can just play off of. And that, or something that we're like, this is so stupid, we got to talk about it because I can't wait to roast this cake. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, we know about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole reason we're on.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming on. We'd love to have you come back sometime. It was great.
Anytime.
If you guys want to talk, you know, celebrities or whatever, you know, please, you're welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate it. We really liked it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe.
Bye.